Too bad. You should have said something. Inputs to the public. We want to make sure it's... So, yeah. Wouldn't be a problem.
Okay, do we...
That's scary.
Yeah.
Are they 8:47 on the clock. Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Gates County Board of Supervisors. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is the next thing on the agenda is a consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes of the meeting held October 2nd, 2013, approval of all claims through October 16, 2013, in the amount of, you just handed that to me, $953,955.25. Is there a transfer on that?
There's
$400,000 to go to highway.
$400,000 transfer to highway for operations. Approved and placed on file all correspondence received. Approved district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of September 2013. Approved utility permit 968 for Windstream Nebraska Inc. to bore and plow new communication line located in section 14 and 15 Township 4 North, Range 5 East in Blakely Township. Approved utility permit 969 for Norris Public Power to backfill a new electric utility crossing located in section 14 Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. Approved declaring the 2008 Dodge Durango 4x4 VIN number 1D8HB482X8F112759 with approximately 150,000 miles and a Ford 2008 Ford Explorer 4x4 VIN number 1FMEU73E78UA17128 with approximately 165,000 miles, both these vehicles being declared surplus, calling for bids. Bids are to be opened on October 30th, 2013 at 9:15. That is... I don't have my glasses, sorry.
I would move the consent agenda be approved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn.
Matt, maybe we could just have Gus talk a little bit about the two vehicles. Oh, he called me. We didn't talk about them at law enforcement that day.
Yes, that's one of the things that slipped my mind. I had a lot of things going on that day. So these are two that we replaced. They've been sitting in the back there for a couple weeks now. We want to get them moved on out. I've talked to Myron. I talked to Paul Hay, and I don't think either one of these are going to be a cat's meow for him. I think I'll wait probably first of next year. I have one more in mind that I think be better suited for them. And he didn't really want to get rid of that one right now anyway. So that's where we're at on that. So these are both surplus, and they're pretty much just we've done what we can to them to keep them going. And I think it's best they just move along.
He didn't want to get rid of the one sitting out there yet?
Not yet. I don't know if he keeps one. They have two they drive. I don't know. But these here, I think, they made better than what he had, but I think maintenance-wise, they're still going to have some issues. So this next one we got coming up, it's got more miles, but it's a lot better vehicle overall. So I think that'd be better suited for him.
Yeah. It's been a motion and a second. Any more discussion about the consent agenda items? Vote 7-0 to approve the consent agenda. On the regular agenda, the next thing is comments from the public and requests for future agenda items relative to the regular board meeting. I think everybody's here for something different. I recognize several folks. Move on to committee reports, building and grounds, and winter lights.
Nothing. We did have a little episode of someone who drove over the courthouse lawn, and but everything is fine. Dave's in good shape, and we're doing okay.
The house. There was a person who contacted me as well as Davey and was interested.
We're waiting for that person to give us an estimate on what they will. We've only had one person who has expressed interest for some of the woodwork and what have you, but they were waiting for them to give us a quote. And Lion Weber would like to get started by the 1st of November, and so we're trying to get everything done so we can get that done.
Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance and insurance?
Nothing to report.
Maybe comment on the addition to inheritance that came?
Oh, yeah. Notice everybody got the fund balance listing here, and I don't know where the inheritance. We had almost $510,000 collection here in September. We're a little bit over $2 million now in inheritance fund. And I don't know, maybe Don knows or Roger knows where that one or two or several.
We had about three really
large estates
that had multiple. And distant friends that inherited at 18%, that's very helpful. We sent thank you letters too.
You did? Oh, thank you.
Yes, which, I mean, I guess since I've been on, I don't recall anything near that for a one-time amount being collected. And the inheritance tax, I know that we keep talking not about what to use it for, but one of the things that keep coming up is our Hickory Road out here and how we're going to finance that, because that we've had some more discussion lately on the progress or what we can do for that and a timetable. We're slowly starting to discuss some of those things and how we can move that along or whatever, and you know, we have some in the Road and Bridge Sinking Fund that we could possibly use for that, and then the other option is inheritance, and the other option is a tax maybe you can put on for part of that too and stuff. So we're starting to have some of those discussions. So
HR, employee relations,
still working on the handbook, and that's about it.
Law enforcement.
Yeah, I had to leave early for a dentist appointment, so I'll let Myron cover some of what I was not there for. But I guess the big thing that we did start discussions with the city council members on a possible combining of the sheriff's department and police department. We did talk through several items, but I really don't feel at this point that we really have everything ready for a big discussion here at this point. I think it's one more meeting away with the city council group. You know, we discussed public safety officers in different communities where they use them as opposed to a police chief and a fire chief, and just how they operate in, I think, was it Lancaster County and a couple other places where they actually have public safety officers. And we also discussed Raleigh County, Kansas a little bit, which would be Manhattan. And like I said, there were several issues that we discussed through, but really at this point there's not a whole lot for us to discuss as a group, I don't think, other than we still have the want to follow through at least on this next discussion, which I would assume we do. So I don't know, Myron, if you got anything to add to that, really?
No, that's correct. A couple of the people from the city council were there. We had a meeting. lasted 45 minutes probably and stuff, and we're going to have another meeting again coming up with them and stuff, so just to see if anything could be worked out. I thought we had a real good discussion.
I guess the one thing I would add is that, you know, as we get into this, the one thing that I think came up more than once was that it might not be a deal where we're able to melt everything together, but there might be one or two things that we're able to start with that'll maybe improve our process and maybe save some money. It might come out of this in the end. It might not. So
some more we had. Gus visited with us a little bit about, I know it's been in the paper, about possibly having some inmates down in Washington County, Kansas, and Roger and everybody still, they're working on that and trying to make sure the legal parts of this is all solved and we have some kind of agreement before we do that. Still very much interested in doing that. And in the said Seed, I guess you pronounce it, Seed Task Force has been denied funding, so that's, I know Bruce has talked about it
lately in the news here a few times, too, that basically did not get any funding last year, did not get any funding this year again, so that's basically being dissolved or whatever. Then we did get a quote from Fackler Architect to draw up plans for handicap accessible, but that quote was a lot higher than what we expected, so we're having more discussion on that and trying to decide what to do that in that direction. So,
and then Gus is going to have some discussions regarding regional jail. You've been in conversation with some other sheriff departments.
Yes, I had talked to, in a conference here a couple weeks ago, I talked to both representatives from Saline and Jefferson counties, and there was interest to at least talk. And so I don't know the best way to start that. Probably, I don't know, Matt, if, like we talked before, maybe a letter to each chairman of those counties to set time and date for one of the representatives and the sheriff from each county to get together and talk.
Right.
Obviously, given the fact they have the newer, larger facility, Saline County, that's a no-brainer, at least in my thought pattern anyway, that's a jail we'd regionalize, whether it be expanded size-wise or that's adequate for now for three counties, I don't know. But it's worth talking about. All the options are on the table, and it's something we probably need to consider anyway. I mean, coming to play, transport times, you'll still have to have some holding cells here. Both judges have indicated, and they'll work that process, getting video conferences going, which would help us some. So I think it's just something we have to look at and consider anyway. So
before I drafted that letter, I wanted to bring it up just with everyone today. And so Jefferson Saline is the two that I was going to contact, unless there's an additional you'd like me to send a letter to that you think's worthwhile. And I just think, you know, we talk about law enforcement and we sit around and we visit and we'll have a lot of talks, and I think that that's a good thing. You know, some people, you can be negative and say talk is cheap, and I would spin that and say talk is cheap. It doesn't cost you anything. It's good to do. It's good to come up with different ideas. And as long as everyone goes in knowing that we may not come up with a solution, we may not come up with making everybody happy, I think it's good we sit down with our neighboring counties and have those discussions. So I appreciate you making that effort to at least get folks together.
Well,
I'll keep you posted on any type of response I get. And if there's folks that I'd like to go and try to visit, if there's anyone else who's interested, and let me know. We'll try to get some meetings together and see what we can scratch together. So, thank you, guys. Road and Bridge.
Work continues on the Wymore Bridge project. The bid letting for the Philly Bridge is October 10th. Is there any new information on that? That was amount.
We do have the bid results for that. There's a low bidder. They've sent it out for evaluation because it was considerably lower than the estimated from the state. So as soon as we get a little bit more information from the original designer has to submit their estimate to see if it's in a range of for the low bid, and if it is, we're good to go. But they haven't submitted that yet. That's where we're at.
All the contracts been signed for the 7 culvert projects. New dump truck's been delivered. I know they've worked on it, put signs on it, and has it in service yet, Galen? Everything working fine? Good.
Terry, one quick comment on that. That's part of why the claims were, too. There was $161,000 for the new dump truck was paid in the claims this time, too. So, forgot that.
Quite a few, I think two or three bridges had to be closed. Various problems with them. New stringers in East Hooker Township had to be put in. Subfloors on other ones, and then a crack on a U-bolt on another one. So the bridge crew's been busy trying to keep the bridge back, the bridges back up to standards. I think it's that time of year when there's probably some heavy weights going over them. So we'll stay on top of that. Wind farm, they begin to narrow back the intersections now. So discussions have been as far as the rock and gravel as far as placements and getting them back to the condition they were or better. That's where we're at right now. So those intersections are beginning to narrow. They begin to narrow them back up again.
And I would encourage folks to get down, if you haven't, and drive and look and see the type of impact that it makes on the skyline and the roads, change the landscape there. Just get down and just see that firsthand. You know, when they're ways off, they look kind of nice, and they don't look as big. You get up next to those things are huge. They're massive. And so as we see more of those types of situations coming, it's nice to get firsthand. And I'm not advocating trespassing, but you can drive right up to them right now. So get up there and just see how big they really are.
I think the last information I heard, they hope to have them operational in November. So I think they're close to getting everything completed, as far as assembled anyway.
I wonder how they lock. They must have a gear that they can lock down with, because when the wind's blowing like this, how you keep those big fans from moving is...
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but I'd get down and look at them. It's pretty interesting.
Basically, that's about it, unless Myron or John have anything else to add.
I'll just make a comment. I think it's been in the news the last week or so, or the last few days here, NPPD... And one of our guys is from Beatrice Thompson or somebody's on that.
Gary Thompson.
Gary Thompson. And they voted not to do any more, I guess, wind energy or whatever. You know, we have another one in the area that's been kind of active. It just hasn't ever taken off yet, that Volkswind or whatever. And the comments I heard on the radio or whatever was that basically puts these all on hold because they've decided not to pursue alternative energy or whatever. So, I mean, that does affect our county. You know, that vote or whatever it did.
What's the acronym for the federal legislation that allows those to be financially viable? It covers, is it 2/3 of the cost to put those up? I forget. He talked about that too.
Yeah, he talked about
there's,
that.
There's
stuff,
a deadline that runs out.
That runs out here in end of the year.
End of the year.
Yeah. So that's not as attractive to put those up anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and just a comment on the bridge. I know we talked about. Well, for probably the last year or so, we've talked about trying to pull out some of these small timber bridges and put culverts and things in there. And that one particular bridge was that Hooker Township that that had the basically was a heavy load that come across it. We went ahead and replaced that, and Terry talked about that. So the goal is to put those culverts in, but I think at this point they just decided to go ahead and replace those, and we'd still get several years out of it.
Right. It was a wooden stringer bridge, and it takes a while to replace culverts. Of course, we've got a lot we're doing, but the whole thing has to be sized and everything, so it isn't something that's just an overnight fix if something goes down on those. So that's why the decision was made to replace the stringers on this one, you know, so it was usable again this year. So, you know, and I think at the time said, you know, another 2-3 years probably would be the life expectancy out of that one.
Sometimes it's not just as easy as dropping a culvert in.
Right.
It's the erosion stuff you got to do. So it's quite a process, but I think that's still our goal is to get a lot of those out. So, all right.
Matt?
Yes.
Terry, I've had several questions. I know last meeting we discussed 89th Road out there and the fact that it was needing to be marked and then it was going to be opened, and it's obviously been marked and it still remains open. I see in here it says that it's ready to be open, but we're waiting on an agreement. But I think maybe you just touch on that a little bit for people.
I was when we came up to that, but we have to finish up some legal work between closing the old road to opening the new road. They're building there right now, but we're just waiting on an agreement with their lawyer and I think Roger's office to finish up.
Well, when I initially got it, I got an email, and I told them as long as it's been acceptable, in other words, the work's been done and it's satisfactory to the county, then notify NIRMA that it's going to be put in place. And I said, make sure we notify Cook, they know that it's also available.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing right now is putting together the deeds and stuff to go ahead and transfer. But Gail and I had a discussion, and he can notify them that we can open it. So, I mean, I don't think that's a problem because, you know, basically we still own it. And then when we transfer ownership in the near future, then, of course, they're going to have to make sure they've got their insurance on the road, and we'll transfer it to the new one. That's not
right. And I think part of the problem is they're starting to build their structure on the other side of the old road. So they want to be able to say, we own this road now. There's the county road over here, so they can start putting their utilities and everything through that road and do what they want to internally so they can really go to town on the existing building they're trying to put up right now. So
the conversation, I guess, we just to have here is everything's met with the road. It's painted, colored, striped, whatever the terminology is, and we're okay to open that road then? Is that,
yes,
that
all
kind
the
of what we're leaving that? So when we leave here today or when we're done here, we're going to go ahead and open that up, and then there's legal stuff to follow to...
Well,
but as far as it being open and safe, it'll be open and safe. People can use it.
Yeah, the public from our end, that's not going to be a problem at all. As far as Coke's end on the new road, well, yeah, I'm sure they want it deeded before they do a bunch of work on it.
So, any questions for Galen about that? So that'll be today. Get that done today so that they can start using
that.
That's... Thank you.
Okay,
sorry.
You bet.
Okay. I'm going to jump right down here. Approve or disapprove vacating the old portion of 89th Road, the one we just spoke about, and we'll be opening that new one. You didn't put a resolution? Okay, well. So we don't have.
So you don't have to
okay.
Do anything right
so
now.
We'll just, it's just going to happen. Disregard that. We won't take any action on that. Okay. Mark Mines, FEMA, Safer Grant Information.
Good morning. A few months ago, well, almost a year ago, I brought to the board that we were taking applications for a safe room project for the county. This is through the NRD, local NRD here, and it also will include Gage, Jefferson, Saline County. Effective September 26th, FEMA had issued a letter of accepting our application and approved the funds for this project for $246,750, which the non-federal match requirement is $82,250. Which will be provided through local funding, which is the people that had applied for that grant. We had a total of 47 applications within the three counties, and 19 of those applications were Gage County. So the project is to construct, install individual safe room tornado shelter in accordance with the criteria met set forth in FEMA 320, which is the taking shelter from the storm project. The selected safe room must be purchased and installed by a qualified National Storm Shelter Association certified member. And that's an association that has been set by FEMA. The project allows residents of Gage County in the lower Big Blue jurisdictional area the opportunity to put a safe room in their home. The type of safe room price and place to be hardened is a choice of the homeowner as long as it meets all the FEMA 320 and NSA requirements. Cost share will be 75% federal and 25% local. Reimbursements will be based on actual approved cost up to the maximum amount of $7,000. So they're allowed to spend $7,000. Which then they would be required to pay 25% of that $7,000, or the FEMA share, the federal share, will be $5,250. The funding mechanism will go, the State of Nebraska Mitigation Division had two employees. They came and did our kickoff meeting on Thursday. They both quit on Friday. As local emergency managers, we'll be responsible for going out as we were before, but we'll be more responsible, I guess, to ensure that these meet the requirements that FEMA has provided. And what we'll do is take the invoices, fill out the local paperwork. They'll each get a packet that consists of about this thick. There'll be a book that they have to meet the requirements. There's some examples of a certificate. There'll be a certificate that they all have to have. And then there'll have to be a sticker on the shelter. So we'll be required to go out, inspect those, take photos, collect the invoices. We'd sign the paperwork and then take it to the Lower Big Blue NRD, and then they will issue the funds will all go through their budget instead of the county's. And we thought that was, a lot easier being that way, since there's three counties involved in the whole. So there's one bank, basically, for the people to get their money. Several different options. I mean, you can build something in your house that you already have a room there. You can add a room, or you can buy a portable shelter. So for an example, there's a salesman locally within 50 miles of here that has shelters for sale. And basically, these shelters would be, you go in your backyard, it's about $500 to dig the hole, and they have a 6 to 8 person shelter that's $4,000. So for around $1,000, you can have a 6 to 8 person shelter in your backyard. Or, we have some that are going to be adding on a room that's going to be a tornado shelter. And of course, they're only going to be able to pay up to the $7,000. Or they may take you may harden a room that's already existing in your basement. In your house. And so there's several different options that have in the books, and we're going to actually have a meeting. We're going to invite all 47 applicants to the meeting. We're going to host it at, I think, a Tri-County school. It sounds like we're going to try to hold it centrally located so everybody has the same paperwork and they're all told the same thing, so all three emergency managers don't have three different stories out there. So we'll invite all, like I said, all 47 of those persons there. They have 3 years to do this project, but I've already received multiple phone calls that people want to start right away. So as far as I'm concerned, that's fine. The sooner I can get them done and get them out and get the invoices issued, that's probably better off. So we, like I said, we had the kickoff meeting and everything, and if you have any questions, I didn't want to make copies of everything here, but I can sure be glad if you want a copy or a part of it or whatever, want to take a look at it, I can sure get that for you.
Will the emergency management people in Jefferson and Saline County be doing their counties?
Yes.
Or okay?
No. Yeah, I'll just be responsible. The 47, like I said, 19 of them were in Gage County, so they'll be doing theirs. And the only thing we're going to do together is have that kickoff meeting and invite everybody there at the same time. So
I guess I really want the people of Gage County and our whole state to be safe in the event of a storm, but here we're talking less than 160 people that you're providing shelter for in Gage County. And I guess all the dollars that we're spending and what we have here, I'm having a problem getting my arms wrapped around this and all the dollars that are being spent. But 19 areas in Gage County safe rooms, it'll take 7 to 8 people each. I don't understand this, Mark.
And that's in there. They're private, and everybody was eligible for the grant. I guess that's all I can say. I mean, I didn't pick the people that have that. So it's just a program that the feds offered. And actually, in the beginning, we chose not to participate in the program. We went back to there's actually an individual here in Beatrice that started, asked questions, and went to the governor's office for this, and they got back all the way back to the city. The city didn't want it, and that's when the NRD stepped in and did it. So we had a short period of time to advertise it. We did radio, television, and the newspaper, and got the information, and that's all the applicants we had that came in. So,
I understand those people would apply. You want a safe room and what have you, but spending all these dollars and all the way through the state, it just doesn't make sense to me that we're doing all that, and we couldn't even cover my neighborhood, my entire neighborhood.
We do have two other shelters that were bought by FEMA, paid for by FEMA in Gage County. That would be the Cortland Community Building, and that's opened up during storms. That room is a multi-purpose room again. And then there is one that was done by Project Impact just 13 years ago. We were just finishing up when I came in. And that's at Hoyle's Trailer Park, and that holds about 100. Both of them hold a little over 100. So
those are good. Yeah. Anyway, just had to say what I felt about this. Think it's a waste of money.
Are these? Do they have to be open to the public? Like if your neighbors, or are they? They're mine.
Yeah,
it's mine. Yeah. Okay. So nobody. I guess I agree with Danny on that. I think that they're
And I think this is why our country is bankrupt.
I think, just to be clear, though, this isn't something that Gage County Emergency Management did. This was a FEMA project promoted by FEMA that Mark just happened to be the conduit that it went through. I agree with both of you. It seems a little bit expensive. If you look just in our three-county area, you're spending $246,000 on, like I said, 47 individuals, which, you know, you do the math real quick, that's only about 350 people, and you figure that out over the whole country, that is a lot of money that's being spent on very few. I do agree, but just remember, it's a FEMA deal. It's not a Gage County Emergency Management thing.
Not to kill the messenger. And we do appreciate the work that you're doing on this, but I believe it's a stupid program, not an efficient way to spend our tax dollars.
Well, it's all based upon mitigation, and I can give you just a quick on mitigation. And for example, if we go into federal disaster through this last couple of months of everything from flooding to snowstorms to the tornado in Wayne, there'll be more of this money available to the state of Nebraska, and that's how it comes back, is they base it upon what the federal disaster is. So much percentage of them dollars comes back for local mitigation projects. So this is considered a mitigation project, just as if we was to replace a bridge after, or if we had a road that flooded out all the time and we kept paying for that road, and we went in and we've done some of those mitigation projects. The one up by DeWitt, that we moved the whole road, and that was money that was out of this mitigation stuff. So there's multiple projects within mitigation money that we can do. This just happens to be one of them. But we've used, I don't know, that was a big project on that Claytonia. We moved the whole road along the river. So that's the type of thing mitigation money is.
Right, and that makes sense because yes. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands of vehicles that go across that road.
So,
and it just makes sense.
And we have to, and they do an assessment, you know, and see what it is, a ratio and an assessment they do on every project. And this is out of mitigation money, according to FEMA, Region 7 out of Kansas City, which we're part of. This is one of the biggest mitigation projects they did as a joint effort through three counties. So we'll be, they're going to start, like I said, one's already contacted, is already going to be starting soon. I'd asked him to wait till we had the project and that, so, or till we have the project meeting with all of them. So that's all I had on that.
Thank you, Mark. Any other questions? But I had to get after the program.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bill Demuth, Engage Quarterly Report.
Morning. My name is Bill Demuth. I'm Executive Director of Engage. I want to thank you for your continued support, and I'm here to give a brief summary of what last quarter's activities were. And not comment on the federal government. does everyone have the report?
It should be in our pack.
Okay, great. Just real quick, you know, again, we try to look at the strategic activities that were laid out in the 2-year work plan. And number one, you can see the three things that we worked on. I will tell you that organizing a manufacturing day is something that we tried to do. We were unable to get enough manufacturers interested in the short period of time that we had to work with, but we will be able to accomplish that next year, and I think it's important and a good way to bring all the local manufacturers together in a cooperative effort, which we need to encourage more of moving forward. We are meeting with local and regional educational groups to try to take another approach to workforce development. One of the questions that was asked in a meeting recently was, what do employers need? And I wasn't being flippant or anything of that manner, but we have a bigger problem if that's not known than we're trying to deal with. If it's not known what employers are looking for, because it's well documented in the literature. It's been discussed since 1990. What they're looking for is trainable people. They'll train them. And they're looking for people with specific skills, and we have programs through the community colleges and the universities and colleges that will do that. So it's a matter of developing relationships and seeking them out, and then becoming involved in those groups to provide input. I'll leave it at that. And that's kind of the theme we're going to work on. And I think some good things will come from it, because the community college, the Beatrice School, and we plan to include other schools in the ESU area, Chamber of Commerce, and Engage. And then once we get something to work with, employers will be involved in that. So it's an important item. That's what companies need, and that's also what they look for if they want to come to an area's workforce first. So we need to keep that as a priority. We continue to work with the villages. We've had one sign up. Have been to all but, I think, five, which is, I can't name them all, but Odell is one, Liberty is one. Claytonia, I couldn't make it last night because I was in two different meetings. Barnstead is one, and I'm probably missing the last one. I was in Pickerel Monday night. Yeah. Had a nice meeting there. I was in Philly a couple weeks ago. So we have been to Wymore, Blue Springs, Adams, Cortland, Philly, and Pickerel. And other than Philly, we've been to those meetings multiple times. So we're actually attended a meeting in Wymore regarding a different matter to kind of reinforce. I did it on a spur of the moment, reinforce that we're there to work with them on things. And the mayor's comment was, I said, "See, Mayor, you can't get rid of me." And he says, "Yeah, you're kind of like the plague." They appreciated the attendance and attention. I think the next thing we want to do is in that area is start to work with businesses and professional groups to see if they want to become part of Engage, and so that's kind of the next phase to membership. Continue to look at the two-year work plan. It's an excellent plan. It's very detailed, and if you try to take those action steps, which we are, it does take time to actually execute them. Business and retention, we continue to work on that. I guess we're at, with the marketing plan, is we have a base plan, but we need to incorporate the action steps of the two-year work plan or the strategic objectives that were laid out, which we are doing. Small business is a focus for the next 12 months. We're working with the University of Nebraska at Kearney, their Small Business Development Center, working with the Small Business Development Center in Lincoln, and also working with REAP in a focused manner. We want to kind of advance past "you need to come see us to talk about your business idea" to "here's Skype, let's have a few conversations and then see if both of us think it's worth getting together," because that seems to be a real impediment to utilizing some of these resources that are out there. is needing to travel, needing to set up an appointment, et cetera. So I've sort of made that my new mantra. We'll see how well it goes over. So far, we have two meetings set up by Skype, though, so we're making progress. I don't like to sit in an office, but I don't like to drive in a car to go to a meeting either, until you know it's going to be of value. So we're working on our website, too, so we maybe can get some people that have business ideas or are interested in Gage County, where they can set up a Skype session with us. You can always do it by phone, but you can get some value out of seeing someone speak in addition to the phone. I'm pretty good with my ear, though. Projects, we've had some activity. We've had some things fall off. I think reiterate what Matt said last time. If you have questions on any of these specific projects, I welcome a phone call to talk about those. I think if you're going to ask about ones, Project Dice and Water, Blue Jay would probably be things that I might be able to update you a little bit on. I can tell you that in any of them, that we did, Nebraska was eliminated from one of the searches of a project that had promise, you can only do so much. It's interesting following it in the newspaper, so I won't say any more. We've had some publicity, and we've also had an agricultural person. Some, based on comments we saw on our website, didn't feel that she was an expert, but she does know a little bit about agriculture and is encouraging that we have more livestock production in this state. And I think that's something we would like to see. We may have a small project where there will be a little more livestock production. One thing I'd mention is you can qualify for $30,000 if you spend $50,000 in modernizing a livestock facility, and you don't have to increase your employees. And if you'd like to know more about that program, give me a call. It's pretty easy. You just fill out your tax return. You have to fill out an application. The state has $1 million per year. So first come, first serve. You can start November 2nd, turning them in through January 2nd, after a series of questions, I've got them pinned down pretty tight. So if you're going to modernize any of your facilities, and it's over $50,000, you might want to look at getting a 10% return on your money. So please spread the word. I don't have anything else. Does anyone have any questions?
I don't have a question. I'll point out a couple things. Butler Ag, I see you have that on here, and I don't know how many people have driven by the Pickerel Corner out here on 77. They're moving a lot of dirt, doing a lot of work there. That company is
Butler
building there or whatever. Then the other thing, at our last meeting, we did talk about our annual meeting, which is going to be, I believe, in March, and We've been going on long enough now that we set the directors,
mm-hmm.
And that in this annual meeting, which ones will be up for election, and that we're starting that process or whatever to get that down. We put which ones will be up this year, the next year, and the year after,
right,
and everything. So
yeah, and I need to get a little less locked in on a quarterly report because a month has passed. And what I'll do is kind of update you on what Myron just referred to, and I'll send it to Dawn, and if you distribute it out, because those are important things. And Pickerel Lumber Company says that the contractor for Butler Ag is great to work with, and they're stopping in there whenever they need something. So that's couldn't ask for to work much better, and it's good feedback. I didn't ask about it. He just said, do they come down here? And he commented. I was stopped in there and saw him last Friday afternoon, so trying to get out and get to know who's out there. The last thing I'd say is I believe, other than Myron and Matt, because I know you fairly well and talk with you quite regularly, I do welcome the opportunity to meet with you individually whenever you have 30 minutes to discuss economic development. We always seek input, and so feel free to respond to that. And until Thanksgiving, I'll be around here. My kids come back on Thanksgiving, so I do take that opportunity to go see them. But then through Christmas, I'll be back too. So that's all I have.
Yeah, Bill, and this might be more of a question for Myron, but in your item number two here, we spent a lot of time and money setting up the Economic Development Organization, and I guess I question as to how much, you know, what's going on with that process there, or is it just I'm hoping it's an expansion of what we've already worked on, or is this an overhaul of the setup that you guys created, that we created initially?
Well, what you're referring to is
the economic development organizational structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has been established.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a matter of taking it to the next levels, which includes having the villages and communities involved, companies involved, and receiving input from leaders in the communities and counties. And that includes business, and it also includes public officials. So that's why I seek input. There's also, if you look under, and I'd be glad to share the work plan with you, under that objective, it talks about how you bring the everyone together to be on the same page and parrot the same types of messages. You don't want one saying, well, Gage County, you know, that's the way we are, and the others say Gage County is a great place. You need to start getting common themes, and you need to develop, in simple terms, a brand, and branding is very complicated, and I'm no expert. But the thing you look at when you talk about branding is, okay, if you say, for example, you're business friendly, then you should experience that when you come to Gage County. So a brand is branding is a promise. So if you say you have quality schools, then that's what you should experience when you come to Gage County. So that's the part that none of those both could be true or not true, or you're going to have maybe some difference of opinions, but the leadership of the county and those that are trying to, you know, we're trying to bring into this organizational structure definitely want to be on the same page. And then those that experience it, hopefully they'll experience it more than they don't. So that's not something that that can come overnight, but that is what we're working on. That's where, by getting the school system, community college, chamber, Engage, and ESU together, there were two or three things that you can expand upon. That we have a great educational system. Well, how does that community college educational system work throughout the state in making sure that everybody's aware of how many graduates they have? That they don't, for example, even put together a consolidated graduate listing for each discipline. Now, would you want to know how many welders there are in Southeast Community College or how many welders there are in the state? So it's, and those things take time, but you need to work towards those, and there's a lot of pieces to move towards that. We want to attract more retail. to Gage County and Beatrice. Unless it exists somewhere other than where I could find it, I've just spent some time redeveloping a very basic piece. Busiest intersections, retail trade market, and then also looking at incomes and how much of the workforce lives here and works here versus how much of the workforce lives outside of Gage County and comes here. That deals with daytime population. So those are the types of things that is expected when businesses that you probably want here are looking for. We need to get, we have available labor. Well, how do you actually prove that? I know how to do that, but it takes time to get that. That's for one individual just to do that is, can be done, but it's going to take longer than it's probably beneficial. So we need to, and that's the, one of the next steps to this organizational structure, is start reaching out and getting people to be on committees that have expertise and are willing to participate actively in, you know, accomplishing some of those things so that we start to become a machine working towards the same end. That's what they're talking about here in number two, which I'll send you the action steps behind number two and number five, and I think you'll have a little more clear idea of what you're asking about.
In short, the basic organizational structure is fine. We're not changing that.
No.
That's what I was getting at. I wasn't.
Yeah. And Gary, about probably, I don't know, 6 months ago, we started challenging Bill. When we started up and getting everything going, some of these things you don't dwell on. But 6 months ago, we pulled back out the report from Smart Solution and that whole concept that we developed from that. And we started looking at different parts of that, or the whole thing basically, but really started dwelling on certain areas of that and pushing Bill or directing Bill or making Bill report to us, I guess, how some of these things are progressing or not. And then I think every one of our last 5-6 meetings, we've devoted a part of our meeting to a discussion on that, and Bill's been giving reports back of this part, you know, dwelling on this or emphasizing this. And then some of the board members particularly have really challenged him that implementing that more and taking that and taking it another step forward, and let's really start working that plan or whatever. And I don't know, it was about 20, I can't remember how many page report from Smart Solution, and and a lot of good things in there, and implementing that more and working on a lot of those things in that Smart Solution.
That's more what I was wanting to hear was is that we were taking what we had and putting it to use.
Yeah.
That's
and
what
have
I was
it,
wanting
and,
to hear.
And I will say this, the first, I don't know how many meetings, we didn't really focus on that or even visit about that too much. And I don't remember when, and it started getting pulled back out and started getting more emphasis on it. And I know every one of the last few meetings.
January 2013.
Okay, January. Then it's longer ago than 6 months or whatever.
But May 15th, it really got intense.
Really started focusing on that and emphasizing it and seeing where we're at and seeing if we're making progress or not, and are some of these things still pertinent to what we want to do as Engage. So we've I know every one of the last few meetings we've had discussions on that pretty good and stuff, and I will compliment some of the board members for making that a focal point, you know, or whatever, because we do need to, that is part of the process. If we don't do some of that stuff, we won't have success or whatever. So, but we're working on that, slowly. And it all takes time. Bill made the comment, it takes time.
And the two key steps is businesses have to become members, and we need to get some committees set up with people that have expertise and are willing to participate. Because there's 35 action steps in that plan.
Right.
And there's detail behind those actions. And so...
But a lot of what you were bringing up was just everyday economic development stuff that you should have you should have that off the tip of your tongue. No, that was an actual organizational structure. Myron hit exactly what I was wanting to know.
Yep. But by doing those is a result of getting those things, because we didn't have any of those things, because the previous organization did not share. Thank you.
Yeah.
Need a motion to place Bill's report on file?
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Vote 7-0. Next is approve or disapprove resolution, special use permit 2013-4, construction of a wireless communications tower located in southeast quarter, section 19, Barnston Township. Need a motion to approve or disapprove? 13-30 is the resolution.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. We'll have discussion. This is the tower we had a public hearing on. This is the construction south of town. Any comments, questions, discussion? Folks get a chance to look at it if they needed to. We had the information presented to us last meeting. Seeing none, vote 7-0 to approve construction of the wind tower, or the wind tower, communications tower, stuck on wind. Okay. Approve or disapprove amended interlocal agreement between Jefferson County and Gage County on a bridge replacement project, Odell Southwest, project C-34, 1003. And this is an agreement that we had already signed, but there was some legal description that Jefferson County needed nothing on our end. Everything was fine. It was a legal description regarding the location of the project. Is that correct? So I need a motion to approve or disapprove this amended agreement.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Vote 7-0 to approve. Let's see. Approve or disapprove lease agreement between the City of Beatrice and Gage County for space to be used by the probation office. And a motion to approve or disapprove. We all should have that agreement.
Motion to approve.
By Dorn.
Second.
Second by Juergens. I'll just start the discussion and say they dropped the rent off. I believe $3,500, I think, is going to go down that. It'll be a one-year extension. Basically, I think it was just to stay where we're at until we see how this change at the legislature, LB
561,
see how that affects the probation services for juveniles in our area. My understanding is that they're happy with the space. There may be some modifications, but that'll be up to the state to make those modifications. 1 year to give us a little time to figure out what or if we need to change anything as far as location based on volume.
And I will make the comment, I mean, we visited with Sarah down there about the increased cost for this juvenile thing or whatever, but here in the last week or two, read in the paper about how Lancaster County up there, and I don't know if anybody else read it either, the increased cost that the state passed on to them that they're now going to have to pick up, and they estimated it, I thought, at $1.2 or $1.7 million that Lancaster County was going to cost them out of their pocket. This was an article in the paper, and I don't remember if I read it all right or remember it all right, but I'm looking at that and I go, oh my gosh, you know, that's a conversation that we've had again, that this is something that the state, in their best judgment, they're doing what, you know, they're thinking right, but the gist of the article was that an unintended consequence is that now all of a sudden there's cost passed on to somebody. Some of those costs just don't go away. They still are there, and now instead of the state picking them up, the counties are. And we haven't really looked at or discussed with Sarah the fact that we're going to have how much of an increased cost or how in our budget. But when I read that article about Lancaster County, you look at that and you go, uh-oh. Maybe we're going to have more that we're not aware of right now or something, and I don't know that. That's an unknown. So
potentially more stuff coming up. I think we're probably well served to at least not have to worry about our space, because that would be change.
What do you mean?
There are a lot of modifications and changes we could have to make.
Oh.
Any more questions, comments regarding the agreement?
They didn't build a new facility out there. They don't have any room.
All right, we have a motion and a second on the agreement vote, 7-0 to approve the agreement.
I didn't know we could tell them that.
Let's see. Check, make sure I've got everything here. Okay. Quarterly report, Tony Shepherdson, Sheriff Gus. First and second quarter reports for the Sheriff's Department and the jail.
I would like to let the Building Grounds Committee know we'll have a short meeting after we adjourn here today. So Dave has some things to talk to us about. So Building Grounds will meet after our meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, my understanding is that the first and second quarter of 2013, this will be the first that you have seen of it. So I'm going to go through. We'll go bookings first. First quarter mail, there's 171 booked. Second quarter, 181. Females, 57 first quarter, 43 second quarter. Felonies, 129 first quarter, 131 second quarter. Misdemeanors, 92 first quarter, 102 second quarter. Others, 92 first quarter, 102 second quarter. Sheriff's Office bookings, 150 first quarter, 130 second quarter. The Texas Police Department, 59 first quarter, 75 second quarter. Wymore Police Department, one first quarter, 5 in the second quarter. State Patrol, 16 in the first quarter, 9 in the second quarter. And then other agencies, 7 in the first quarter, 13 in the second. Alcohol-related arrests, 37 in the first quarter, 50 in the second quarter, and our average daily population, first quarter was 24, second quarter 22. Income from outside prisoner holdings, 0 on first and second quarter. We've been having to ship them out. We've been overpopulated to where we can't bring any in to house for other agencies. Income from fingerprints taken, $465 first quarter, $437.50 second quarter. Income from inmate phone usage, $945.92 on the first quarter, $1,101.12 on the second quarter. Commissary commission income, first quarter was $5,778.38. Second quarter, $4,452.36. Spent on outside holdings, first quarter, $31,870.45. Second quarter, $23,472.57. And under the medical, I'm still, with me moving in, I'm still trying to gather that information. I've located... Amber filed everything different than I'm filing it, so I'm trying to locate her stuff to give an accurate on the medical.
Comment on the inmate phone usage once. What, you bill them or what? Or how they get?
We get a percentage. They buy cards from InCartel and then a calling card, and we get a percentage of that.
I have a comment, and this is more for the rest of the guys. I guess, would you allow somebody to come and work a shift in the jail? I was allowed to do that before you took duty, and it was a real eye-opener, and I would challenge the rest of the people here to do that. If you can stay awake all night, that was the hard part.
Any other questions?
The only request I would have is, just because I forgot my glasses today, is can we split that out into four separate pieces of paper and maybe go 16 font?
I could probably go, yeah. I want to add more categories.
I can't see it. Sorry.
I want to add more categories to this. Okay. So,
but don't do it on that one piece
of paper. No, I'll try to make it bigger.
I just can't see it. Sorry.
Anything else?
Am I the only one that can't see that?
Yeah, we're great.
You guys are all going, I did
this. That's pretty sad. That's age is what that is. Okay, this will be the first and second quarters for 2013 at the Sheriff's Office. Calls for service, we had 1,650 first quarter and 1,845 the second. Accidents, we had 60 compared to the 79 the second quarter. Citations were 69 versus 55. Warnings were 387 versus 428. Arrests 109 and then 124 in second quarter. Papers served were 322 versus 275. Arrest warrants served 104 compared to 81. Fees earned $7,501.36, compared to $2,250.17. And mileage earned from serving papers was $3,568.17 compared to $2,306.39. Copies we had made and charged for $75 first quarter and $28 the second quarter. Distress warrants collected in full was $1,157.42 and no dollars received on the second quarter. $1,000 even on the first quarter for a distress warrant partial payment, and then again none on second quarter. Town inspections, we received $2,690 versus $2,790. Patrol miles we've driven approximately was 59,763 compared to 61,942. Transports driven mile-wise that way for prisoners was 3,717 compared to 2,424. Money that were reimbursed to us on grants the first quarter was $1,717.54. compared to 150 on the second quarter. Meth labs in both quarters were none. Drug violations were 5 in the first quarter, 4 in the second quarter. Reserve miles driven that they gave to us for what they're doing was 329 in the first quarter and 607 on the second. Reserve hours were 38 compared to 33. We did 974 billing checks the first quarter and 786 in the second. Number of doors found from those billing checks in the first quarter was 9, and on the second quarter was 10. Any questions?
Okay. I just had, just because I got you, because you're there before you sit, just a comment, one, about the seed money running out. I think that's a bad thing. I think that's been a good program. I think we pulled people off the street. My understanding is the feds want to see the head honchos or whatever taken, but you know, if you can make a dent even at the dealer level, at the street level, I think that there's been some impact here with the selling of near local schools, which I think that's had a good impact. So I appreciate the work you've all done. I think that's a bad deal that's going away.
Well, it's bad for us and good for criminal element. That's about all I can say because it's going to hurt. There's no doubt.
I mean, it's all about resources and trying to make a dent, and you know, we know drugs are an issue, and they're pulling the funding, and so I think that's bad. Secondly is, have you seen the trucks are out cruising around now?
One is,
okay. They're very well lit up. They look nice. You know, still, I think for $22,000 for a four-wheel drive V8 four-door pickup, that's pretty good. I know Terry would have liked to get in on that deal, but...
I'll be glad to have them come behind you and turn the lights on if you like.
No.
Look,
I don't want to see how comfortable the back seat is. That's okay. And then lastly, do we want to have a discussion about potentially prisoners going across the border? You want to have that discussion or not?
That's up to if Roger feels comfortable. He's been gone for a few days, so I don't know if you...
Talking about what?
Washington. Prisoners going down. I got, you know, Tony in the room, too, about folks, you know, housing...
Well, basically right now is all we're covering is some due process, and these, you know, I think somebody commented, it might have been Gary, that it's basically legalese, and that's exactly what it is. We got to make sure that we can enforce, you know, the situation, because if somebody says I'm not signing a waiver of extradition, what are we going to do? And I'm sorry, if we can think about it, the jailhouse attorneys over there are going to think about it, too.
and that's a possibility to create more problems for Gus and Tony. Yeah, and I mean, we're all in favor of saving the money. That's not a question. It's just, you know, we're exploring right now logistically how are we going to handle it when one of our people gets sick down in Marysville and has to be transported to a hospital. And that sounds simple enough. Well, the sheriff just takes them. Really? What if there's a problem? They die en route. You know, those are the kind of things we got to have covered. And we're working, you know, not just with Gus and some other folks, but NIRMA, our insurance carrier, make sure they're on board. We have a third-party health provider. I don't know what your actual word is that you use to describe the company you use to help keep your health costs.
Oh, ACH. Yeah.
And again, we got to coordinate with all that stuff when we go across the state line. And the concept's very simple. There's a lot of little things that, you know, you don't want to get caught in a situation where we end up with, you know, a federal lawsuit. We'd like to get rid of those and be done with that. So that's why this is taking a little longer. You know, Red Willow County does it. And they've been very cooperative with working with us. But we've been, as we've talked back and forth, there's some things that they didn't think about either. And nobody's critical of that. You just want to make sure you don't have the a situation come up that you got to address halfway through the process. So,
how long are we talking about getting this information, Counselor?
We're working real hard to try and get this thing out. We've been also working with the Attorney General's office, who's been very helpful. And quite frankly, some of these issues that we brought up, they're devoting some manpower to as far as researching it. So, you know, my idea, and again, I would hope within a week, 2 weeks, we could at least have a project that we can throw it out so Gus and his folks, NIRMA, can review it. And we've got to send it down to Kansas, too. One of the biggest concerns that I personally have is the jail standards issues. That, quite frankly, Kansas jail standards is not as restrictive or they're not as demanding as, say, Nebraska's. There's a little concern there. I mean, if you're arrested, booked in Nebraska and convicted, can we just send you down to a different facility? I don't know the answer to that. And that's a due process issue. So we got to get that addressed. And I just should not be a test case for it someplace. And when the federal courts decide to open back up.
So hopefully a week or two, and we'll...
I'd really want to have something. And what we may end up doing, while some of these issues, we're still looking at them, is put the rest of the agreement out there, and let's hash over that while we have maybe one or two issues that we don't have actually down in black and white, and work on that.
Okay, good.
Something else you could look at is the Nebraska Department of Corrections. They transport nurses. They'll swap with other states.
Mm-hmm.
So... like, look at that too.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, with the AG's office, that's, you know, we figured they'd heard probably anything and everything, because there are communities that in the past have utilized some of this across state lines.
And I also asked, talked to them last week, and they were going to be sending up on DISC their standards. So we'll have that to look at.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Okay. More questions? Need a motion to place both the jail and the sheriff's quarterly report on file, please.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. All right. I think we have everything last on the agenda. Last call for any comments. Jenny? Are you going to give us an update on that?
I'll give you guys an update. For those who don't know me, I'm Jenny Bollmeyer, Senator Wallman's legislative aide. I apologize. I wasn't thinking about coming up and speaking, but Friday is the Tax Modernization Committee meeting in Lincoln, and I think it's important that they know how the changes we've made at the state have affected the counties. As Myron pointed out, the more we put back onto the counties, the more it's going to come on property taxes, and as Senator Byers knows, that's the number one complaint is property taxes. So your voices need to be heard up there. Make sure they know how it affects people at the local level. So Friday at 10, the Tax Monetization Committee. And Norm and I both will be in Lincoln on Friday in the office, so please stop up, call. There's a couple different agencies that have been watching this. You got the Platt Institute and also, of course, I just brain blanked, Open Sky, which is going to kind of give you two different sides. I encourage you to kind of read what they're saying and what's coming out. I have no idea right now what they're going to come up with. They've thrown out a lot of different ideas. Some may be feasible, some may not. So please let us know what you think. I think I have a pretty good idea of how it's affecting the county, but I'm always here to listen. Any questions?
Any discussion from school systems? I know if you look at the percentage of taxes that are collected, at least locally, the number one amount goes to school systems. So I was curious what type of, if you know, discussions taking place with this group, with unfunded mandates from the federal government, and then what's been put out there as far as taxation at the local level. I was curious if there's been much involvement from school boards.
I have not personally heard of anything from the school boards, but I have not followed this closely, quite frankly, just because it's such a work in progress. I have no idea what's going to come out.
Okay.
Like you said, though, unfunded mandates is the number one. And that's what the legislature needs to look at in the future, quite frankly, is I was talking to Don earlier, and we do things that don't make sense. We need to make things simple. And we're putting way too many unfunded mandates and then taking away money, expecting to do more with less.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan.
Anything else? Otherwise, we're going to call for a closed session for an update on litigation necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection and needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I need a motion to go into a closed session.
So moved.
Moved by Setzer.
Seconded
by Byers. Vote 7-0. No action afterwards. We'll adjourn afterwards, so there'll be no action.
Come up to the boardroom.
Okay.
Move we come out of a closed session at 10:18.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Juergens. Vote. 7-0. We're out of closed session. Any more discussion? I think it's important to recognize that a week from today, Myron Dorn has a birthday. Ooh. I won't divulge the year because I don't know, because if it was written down, I'd say it. But I don't know.
It's not with a zero.
Can't be much over 35.
It's not with a zero. No,
58?
Not yet.
What? 58? 59.
Just a baby. Just a baby.
All right, if there's nothing else, see, we're opening up 89th Road today.
Mark told me that this morning.
Terry said he'd meet us out there and he'd take the first drive on it once it's open.
I've already gone a
hour and a half.
He wants to slide some gravel.
I went a little ways on it, and they looked at me, and I turned around when I hit the barricade and turned around and came back.
You didn't just your ID.
They wouldn't get me anywhere.
I got to drive out there. I haven't been out there
yet. I haven't been by it.
All right. We will be adjourned at 10:20.
Glad you